Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. I'll read that now. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. This is God's word for us, God's people. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God, your heavenly Father, and your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Their work is most closely associated with models, movie stars, and athletes. But personal trainers don't just work out with those whose livelihood is based on their physical fitness or abilities. In the United States, 750,000 people work as professional trainers. Now, each needs somewhere between 15 to 20 clients to be successful, to make ends meet. Now, if it's half that for each one of those personal trainers, that means that there are 7.5 million people who see a personal trainer. There's a reason it's a $13 billion a year industry in our country for the past 5 years. Why is it that so many people are willing to shell out big bucks to have somebody tell them to do something that they already know they should be doing? Well, people hire personal trainers because they recognize they need someone with expertise and energy to hold them accountable. They need someone to help push them beyond where they would normally stop. They're looking for someone who's an excellent instructor and motivator, someone who believes in their capacity and their potential. Why? Because when you have someone who believes in you, someone who's holding you accountable, someone pushing you, someone encouraging you every step of the way, you do more. You accomplish things far greater than you ever imagined. Now, even if you've never had a personal trainer, you know this is true. Maybe you've gone to physical therapy, or you played on a ball team, right, when you were younger. There was that coach, that teammate, that trainer. Maybe it was a parent who urged you on. Now, their tactics weren't always so pleasant, but because of their presence and their prodding, you pressed on and you did things that you would not have otherwise. It's not just a physical thing. The same thing happens in the classroom and the workplace too. But the illustration that we have before us in Hebrews 12 is a race. God tells us to run the race that he has marked out for us. To run even though there are obstacles, to run because we have greater strength than we realize, to run because the finish line is far better than we could ever dream. Of course, it is the obstacles that catch our eyes first. It's human nature, right? Running this race is hard. it demands more than we can give. And there will be times where we wonder if we have lost our minds or maybe that God has. The one thing these verses do not sugarcoat is this race. This race is hard. And that's good. We're called to run with perseverance, with endurance. We're told this race will be unpleasant at times. We're warned that at times we may grow weary, that our arms will become feeble and our knees weak. And it would be wonderful, perhaps, if the Christian life were compared to a walk in the park. But you and I know that wouldn't be honest. And since it wouldn't be honest, it couldn't be from God, because God is truth. In him, there is no darkness at all. Every word of God proves true, and this word of God is no different, even if at first it is unpalatable and unpleasant. This race is difficult, demanding, because we're far weaker than we realize, and we're not God. See, our weaknesses are addressed first. We're told to throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. You understand how sin entangles you, don't you? I mean, we even tend to speak in these terms when it comes to sin. We talk about falling into temptation, falling short of the glory of God. Falling is always embarrassing. But falling during a race is nasty. It's painful. But like falling during a race, you don't realize that you're falling until it's too late. And it's the little things that cause you to fall. It's the little things that throw your mechanics out of whack and set you up to take a big tumble, especially when you're weary, when you're tired, when you're worn down. And this race is draining. So let us not make accommodations for sin. Because making accommodations for sin is as silly as running with your shoelaces tied to one another. And yet, day after day, we do that, don't we? We nurture, feed, take care of our own particular pet sins. Things like anger, jealousy, greed, gluttony, cursing, dishonesty, idleness, impatience, or an overly critical spirit. We try and tell ourselves that any one of these things is not such a big deal. We recognize that they're not good, but we convince ourselves that's not so bad, that we've got them under control. And maybe we look to our past, especially a particularly bad moment, or to other people around us who struggle with the same pet sin, and we think that that's somehow proof that we're in good shape. We're doing just fine. But look what happens. Especially as you're running this race, as you get tired, frustrated, stressed out, your pet sin plants itself right there in the middle of your heart. You see, having sin under control is no more possible than domesticating a hungry lion. Sin crouching at your door is as dangerous as a diamondback curled up on your welcome mat. When we say that our pet sins are no big deal, we're only fooling ourselves. Sin easily trips us up. But that is not the only obstacle. We are also told to throw off everything that hinders us in addition to the sin that so easily entangles. You might wonder, what does God mean by this? Well, the fact that he sets up separate categories for these hindrances, God is telling us that there are things that in and of themselves are not sin, but they make running our race more difficult than it has to be. What are these things? Well, they're different for each one of us, but it's often our fervent desire for good things. Sometimes we just want to be comfortable, or we want attention, acceptance. Perhaps you have a passion for productivity or some degree of success, or you dream of some particular accomplishment. Maybe what you want is to enjoy yourself for a little while, to take a break. Now, none of these things are sinful, right? But they can be hindrances. A desire for comfort, or looking to take a break, can convince you to stop running this race altogether, right? Sometimes pursuing a particular kind of success, chasing some unique accomplishment, leads us off Christ's course. It very well could be that enjoying some hobby or some relationship is hindering you from giving yourself fully to the work of the Lord. You see, it's many good things that hinder us from running the race that God has marked out for us. We are called to run this race. And we struggle to run our race because we are far weaker than we realize. We battle a sinful nature that has far greater power than maybe we imagined. And we struggle to recognize and then also rid ourselves of good things that hinder us from doing God things. But this race is also hard because we're not God. We don't know his whole will. We don't understand all his ways. We struggle to see his discipline as his love. You see, to our way of thinking, discipline is reactive. It's born out of anger, frustration, irritation, right? Perhaps that's because that's how you've disciplined in the past. Sometimes you discipline somebody because they've done something to irritate you. Sometimes you discipline someone because they've done something wrong. But God's discipline is not limited to that. That's not what God is talking about here. In fact, he's talking about a kind of spiritual training. Divine discipline is spiritual training, and God wants us to realize that he only trains those he loves as his own children. Now, if you're a parent, you should understand this. Imagine you're out to eat, and across the restaurant, there's this kid having a meltdown. Now, if it's someone else's kid, you're likely to either feel bad for the parents or get mad at them. What you don't feel compelled to do is to go over there and discipline that child because it's not your kid. If it were, you would step in because you do have a special relationship and responsibility for training that little one. Oh God, our Heavenly Father has a special relationship and responsibility to train and develop you. His training isn't always pleasant. It's not always what you desire. There are moments where you may even think that God is being totally unreasonable. And if you ever think this way, I encourage you, turn back the clock. Think back to your youth. Did you ever feel like your earthly parents were being unreasonable? Of course, right? And maybe there were times they were being unreasonable, but that was because they were imperfect parents. They were doing what they thought was good, what they thought was best. Your Heavenly Father knows what's best. He is perfect. He is powerful, wise, and he is loving all the time. Every single difficulty that he allows in your life, he has deemed to be important, purposeful, necessary for the race that he has marked out for you. Now, I know that's hard to understand. Perhaps it's even more challenging to believe. Why should you trust that the race that God has marked out for you is good for you? Well, look at the race that God marked out for himself. That was for your good. You see, Jesus, the Son of God, ran a race that was quite similar to yours and mine. He faced temptation, but he never fell on his face. He never grew weary of doing the righteous thing for the right reason. And he too lived in a culture that fabricated all kinds of pious-looking hindrances. But Jesus threw off cultural norms, social sensibilities. He lived as a humble servant, even when powerful people accused him of being a glutton or a drunkard or a friend of sinners. Jesus ran the race that demanded his everything, even his very life. The race that God marked out for his own son passed through Caiaphas's courtroom and Pilate's palace. It led to Golgotha and the grave. The race that God marked out for himself included being marked as the worst of criminals, made an object of scorn and ridicule, being crucified shamefully and buried hastily in a borrowed tomb. This was the race that God marked out for himself. Jesus' training, the discipline that he experienced as God's own son, was unimaginably painful. The perfect Son of God was forsaken, treated as if he were illegitimate, so that we might be accepted, so that we might be loved and live with God forever. Jesus ran his race with perseverance so that you and I might share in his holiness and enjoy eternal rest with him in his kingdom. Jesus Jesus rejoiced in running for you. You can trust that the race that God has marked out for you is for your good, because the race that he ran for you was for your good. God's training, his discipline, is always purposeful. It's never because he's been provoked or he's peeved or just kind of petty. All of the sins that you've ever committed have already been paid for by his beloved son. By grace, through faith, you have been made his true son or daughter. He is your perfect, personal, spiritual trainer. And even when you experience temporal consequences for your sinful choices, God is not looking to get his pound of flesh from you. He's training you so that you might see sin as he does, as nothing more than spiritual poison. That's why he warns you that the wages of sin is death. That's why he allows you to experience the consequences of loss that come with transgressions. But he is not merely just trying to keep you away from sin. He is encouraging you to run to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. You see, Jesus isn't just our Savior, the founder and fulfillment of all God's promises. He's waiting for you at the finish line. He's overjoyed to see you run the race that he has marked out for you. And God doesn't want to see you grow weary or become discouraged or lose heart. So he has furnished you with his powerful and encouraging word and sacraments. He has given you this fellowship of believers. He has surrounded you with a great cloud of witnesses, people who have struggled as you do. During these trials and hard times, understand that God is training you as he trained them. Like Abraham, God puts your faith to the test so that you might see how faithful he is. Like Gideon, your courage must be challenged. Like Job, your character must be developed. And God often does that as everything around you and sometimes even in you falls apart. Humility, patience, contentment, these aren't human accomplishments. These are gifts that God works in those who have struggled against the sins of pride, greed, and worry. In order to learn self-control, we must be stretched. In order to find true peace, we must go through many storms. In order to have real joy, we must face many dark days. This is the Lord training you. The same God leads you as you run the race that he has marked out for you. Your race will not be exactly the same as anyone else's. But your race has the same finish line, where the founder and finisher of your faith joyfully waits for you. And when he sees your knees becoming weak, he furnishes you with his strength. When your arms become feeble, he assures you that he is holding you in his arms. The Lord is your strength, your shield, your song, and your salvation. So run, dear child of God. You are not running aimlessly. Run with purpose, run with confidence, run with perseverance, run the race that God has marked out for you with this promise of God in mind. Blessed is the one who perseveres, because that one will receive the crown of life. Run. Run to Jesus. Amen.